Good morning, Hope United Methodist Church family, from wherever you are joining us. A few announcements before we begin worship today. First, I'm having outdoor office hours every week from 9 until 12. This week, I'll be at Hathaway, so if you're looking for me, find me there. And then the next week, I'll be at Hope Main Campus. Also, next Sunday, September 20th, we are going to be regathering outdoors for worship. Hopefully you saw the email, the Facebook post, the post on our website. But I want you to know that we will be regathering outdoors. We do ask that you come and maintain social distancing. Bring a mask. Bring your own chair. Please note that we are gathering to watch the broadcast of our service. We will not be having live worship, but we will be gathering in person to watch worship. This is the first step on our regathering plan. And then we hope to continue to make further steps for us to be together and to have worship be more worshipful. But we must start with where we are and go from there. Please note that starting next Sunday, we also will be doing online Sunday school. So we will have videos that will go live on Sunday mornings. And if there are packets and activities needed, we will have those available well ahead of time. We can pick those up a month at a time. But I can tell you that for the first Sunday, the first module we're doing, you don't need to swing by the church and grab anything. So your kids can tune in, and we'll also have some stuff for the youth that's separate from the kids stuff for Sunday mornings that will go live, and those will be up the whole week. So they can do those whenever fits their schedule, whether it's 9:30 on a Sunday or 2 o'clock on a Tuesday or 5 p.m. on a Friday. They can take part and do those lessons, and so we give thanks for that. So keep your eyes peeled for all of that great stuff. And finally, we also continue to have our Zoom Bible study on Tuesdays. So hopefully you'll join us for that, or a weekly meal on a Wednesday. We just have a lot of new stuff starting and a lot of stuff continuing to go on, and so we're grateful for that. Now, let us take a moment and take a breath and prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. to leave the safe sheltered quay, to rest while strong men fear, to doze through a storm at sea. Who is this Jesus?
To display the might of the meek, to sleep while threats are near, to dream while fierce gales peak. Who is this Jesus?
To know what keeps you afloat, to let another hand steer, to be safe in a floundering boat. Who is this Jesus?
To be seen when there is no light, to trust when nothing's clear, to confront the powers of night. Who is this Jesus?
To speak the word that saves, to know God is even here, to command the wind and the waves. Who is this Jesus?
As we join now in our time of prayer, please join me in our unison prayer. Feed us now, child of God, as you fed your first disciples. Feed us with that soul food which nurtures enough love within us to outstrip the fears and enmity that ties the world up in knots. Feed us with that spiritual bread which strengthens our hands for serving those broken and lost people whom this world deems a waste of space. Feed us so that we may be fulfilled with some of that joy which the universe cannot contain for your love's sake. Amen. Now let us have a time of prayerful reflection as music guides us deeper into prayer.
Thank you.
we continue our time of prayer, we join in the sharing of our joys and concerns lifted up throughout the week. We pray for Maya. We pray for Pastor Bill. We pray for Mary Lou and Ruth. We also pray for Olga Taylor, and as she has asked for our prayers, and she gives prayers of thanks for all who have wrapped her and covered her in prayer. We pray for Jay, Mary Alice, Barb Dark, our whole church family, and we lift up the prayer that I will pray for you and you pray for me, and we will all pray together. We know that these are times in which we find ourselves, Lord, and they are difficult. They are unexpected, and we are not exactly sure who and how we are supposed to be during this time. But we know that you are with us, and you guide us. You feed us. You fill us and sustain us, Lord. And so we just ask that you would be with all those during these times of strife and struggle and uncertainty to strengthen and encourage us in all that we would do. We know that you walked among us, Lord. You talked with us, laughed, and joked, but you also prayed with us. In the good times and in the hard times, you were there by our side. And so now we join in the prayer that you taught us as we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen. Good morning, kids. Hope you're doing well today. Just wanted to do our children's moment out here in my garden, because I know we're doing this whole stories from the ship thing as worship right now, and talking about our emotions a lot and how things have been difficult. And I wanted you to know that early on in my garden, I planted a bunch of stuff, and it was supposed to be the time to plant. And then that next week it kept saying it was going to frost. And, when you plant things, frost will kill them. And so I had to keep running outside and putting blankets on all of my plants to try and keep them safe. This is so that way they would grow. But even then, it was just cold enough, it, you know, cooled off the dirt. It really knocked back the plant growth. It really slowed it down and kind of, you know, really stunted their growth for a while. And that happens to us sometimes. We feel like we're getting ready to start growing, to do something new and exciting, and then something knocks us back and it slows us down, and we get discouraged and we feel like maybe it's not going to happen. And that's how I felt about my garden. I felt like maybe these plants aren't going to get growing. Maybe it's just not going to work out. But really coolly, it has actually worked out. And so I thought I would show you some of how much things have started to grow. So here's a tomato plant. Look at that. It goes all the way up, and it goes all the way. See, it goes all the way up here through the garden. It's got some nice tomatoes on there. My zucchini, do you see that it's climbed all the way up now? Here's my cucumber plant. I've got a cucumber growing right there, and I got another one down there. Another zucchini plant. We just picked a zucchini off of that. And then here's my green bell peppers. Look at this. A nice big green bell pepper. It's got three of them on there. And so it was a slow start. I was really worried the garden wasn't going to grow. We weren't going to have any vegetables. And sometimes that happens with us. We get to a slow start and we get discouraged, but it's okay. We just need to wait for the sun to come out and warm us up. And so my hope and my challenge and encouragement to you in the midst of these times, if you're feeling frustrated and tired and overwhelmed, is just to know that those happen. We all have seasons where things feel like they're slowed way down and we just aren't making progress. But take courage and know that in the midst of all of that, God is with us, and God helps us to make sure we do keep growing, even if it's just putting in roots, so that when our growth spurt hits, we have a firm foundation to draw upon. So may you know that God helps you with being a firm foundation that you would continue to grow each and every day. Let's get back to worship.
Our first scripture lesson this morning is Psalm 103. Let my whole being bless the Lord. Let everything inside me bless His holy name. Let my whole being bless the Lord and never forget all His good deeds. How God forgives all your sins, heals all your sickness, saves your life from the pit, crowns you with faithful love and compassion, and satisfies you with plenty of good things so that your youth is made fresh like an eagle's. The Lord works righteousness, does justice for all who are oppressed. God made His ways known to Moses, made His deeds known to the Israelites. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, very patient and full of faithful love. God won't always play the judge. He won't be angry forever. He doesn't deal with us according to our sin or repay us according to our wrongdoing. Because as high as heaven is above the earth, that's how large God's faithful love is for those who honor Him. As far as east from west, that's how far God has removed our sin from us. Like a parent feels compassion for their children, that's how the Lord feels compassion for those who honor Him. Because God knows how we're made. God remembers we're just dust. The days of a human life are like grass. They bloom like a wildflower. But when the wind blows through, it's gone. Even the ground where it stood doesn't remember it. But the Lord's faithful love is from forever ago to forever from now. And those who honor Him and God's righteousness reaches to the grandchildren of those who keep His covenant and remember to keep His commands. The Lord has established His throne in heaven and His kingdom rules over all. You divine messengers, bless the Lord, you who are mighty in power and keep His word, who obey everything He says, bless Him. All you heavenly forces, bless the Lord. All you who serve Him and do His will, bless Him. All God's creatures, bless the Lord. Everywhere, throughout the kingdom, let my whole being bless the Lord.
Our second lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. When Jesus got into a boat, His disciples followed Him. A huge storm arose on the lake so that the waves were sloshing over the boat, but Jesus was asleep. They came and woke Him, saying, "Lord, rescue us, we're going to drown." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you people of weak faith?" Then He got up and gave orders to the winds and the lake, and there was a great calm. The people were amazed and said, "What kind of person is this? Even the winds and the lake obey Him." This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. I know what many of you are thinking. We're still in the boat? This scripture seems so familiar. We just heard this very same scripture last week, only it was in Luke, and we heard it 2 weeks ago, but it was in Mark, and I have news for you. You're going to hear it again next week, but here again, we have this story in the Gospel of Matthew this time. A boat and water and feeling overwhelmed and asking the question, are we still in the boat? Right now, we are in the midst of a storm. It is a storm with many different waves that threaten to overwhelm us. We have waves of fear, waves of uncertainty, of pandemic. We have waves of injustice, of racism, classism, sexism. We have raw tensions within our very midst because of the sin of racism in our society and the way that we cannot and have not adequately addressed it at all. And so still we find ourselves now in the boat and asking ourselves, I thought we already took care of this. Martin Luther King Jr. marched on D.C. and gave a speech about a dream. Doesn't that take care of this? I stayed in my house for 4 weeks. Doesn't that take care of this? I wore my mask to the grocery store. Doesn't that take care of this? And yet we are still in the boat. Because the reality is that nothing we do as an individual can overcome the sheer number of waves that threaten all of us, and it challenges us and says to us, we need to work together. And we need to seek the Lord in our midst in order for the storm to truly be calmed. We are still in this boat because we have not done hard work and we have not listened to one another so that we could overcome the situations that present themselves before us. And so when we are in the midst of this storm and ask ourselves, how did we get here? How is this happening still, and why, and now? We must recognize that in large part, it stems from a failure to truly listen to the stories of one another as each of us go through the storms of life and are trapped in the boat. There are many persons, and all of us are dealing with a storm of some kind. Each of our storms is different, and yet each of our storms has a sameness to it. And that is that to some of us, we may look at the storm another person is dealing with and say, that is nothing at all. But to them, it feels as though their boat is being swamped and the water is sloshing in and you're going to drown, just as our storm may look small to them. But when we engage in actual dialogue with one another and ask what's really going on, we may realize that their storm is bigger than we thought. It's just that we didn't see all of it, or we didn't see it from their boat. We are still in the boat. And part of the reason that we're in the boat is that we don't listen and trust one another. And trust is something that has to be earned, and often we have to earn that through showing that we're worth and worthy of trust, building of relationship. We are in a place right now in our society where people are sharing their stories that have been shared before, about injustice and oppression, about confronting or recognizing racism. And some of us may say, why haven't we heard these stories before? And the reality is that these stories are not new. They have been told throughout the ages, but we maybe were in a position where we did not have to or could not hear those stories. And so now we are asking ourselves, how are we still in the boat? Without asking ourselves the real question, how long have we been in the boat? How long have we been standing in this boat with our ankles wet and our socks soaked as the water has come in and threatened to drown us and not recognize that we are in the midst of a storm? How long have we cocooned ourselves and tried to shut out everything we didn't like and pretend as though the storm was not raging on? When he says to them, why are you afraid, you people of weak faith? I think about how many of us are afraid to encounter different and to encounter a narrative that we maybe don't like and have rejected. Why are you afraid to hear the story of someone who's dealt with racism and oppression and injustice in their life? Is it because it challenges our own narrative, makes us take a step back, and makes us realize that we've been blind to things for a long time? Are we so weak in our faith in Christ that we are unable to truly love our neighbor and to wrestle with the hardness that goes on in our society? Are we so weak in faith that we cannot recognize that we're in a storm? Are we so weak in faith? Are we so afraid that we will deny that there is water in the boat because it makes us feel more comfortable to do so? We worship and are saved by a God who loves us so much that he comes down here and walked among us and sent the Holy Spirit among us and saves us, even when we say, "Help us," and he says, "You have weak faith," but he still saves us. He still loves us in spite of our shortcomings, and he still desires more and more for us, even as we are in the midst of the storm, knowing that he can calm the storm, but that we need to also have faith in the midst of it. Part of me wonders if now Jesus would say to us, "Are you still in the boat? Haven't we already learned from our experiences?" We worship a God who has power over the winds and the lake and the storms of this world, but who also desires that we would be a people of faith who do not shy away from the challenges presented to us, who desires that we would utilize the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we have been given to do good work on behalf of the Lord, so that we could truly be disciples. We worship a God who will be there for us in the midst of whatever storm comes our way. And it may not be in the way that we expect, but he will be with us. We are still in the boat, but we have the power to realize that our feet are wet, and that together, when we listen to one another, share our stories and our experiences, and see things in a new way, to learn that we together can overcome this storm that threatens all of us. Because all of us are in this boat together. Whether you like someone or not, whether they have different skin than you or not, whether they're the same age as you, the same gender as you, whether they have the same sexual orientation as you or not, we are all in this boat together. And only together, when we engage with love and prayer and patience and humility and honest listening and deep, hard reflection, can we overcome the storm that faces us and trust in the power of God to guide us forward. And that is the God who is in the boat with us and who unites us together through the power of the Holy Spirit and through his love for each and every one of us. Amen.
Suffering and shame, and I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown.
As we come now to our service of offertory, let us pause for a moment and be of prayerful meditation as we offer to God, whether we do that by putting something in the mailbox or giving digitally. Let us take a moment of silent reflection as we offer to God. And now, as we think about what it means to give, would you stand as you're able, whether you're at home or standing out on your porch or whatever, and join with me as we sing our doxology and remember what it is we have partaken in.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, He and He rose. Praise for the Son and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Now let us join in our response to the offering. This is a responsive reading, so I will do the leader piece, and then I will invite you to join with me in the unison component. Giving is not a casual act. It relates God's work to our work. Peter writes, "As each has received a gift, employ it for one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let us give as people whose work is inextricably linked to God's great works of creation, redemption, and empowerment." Please join with me. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to give to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you not with our words only, but with our whole lives. Amen. So now, as we go back into our daily lives, may you have the courage to have tough and difficult conversations and reflection, and to hear honestly, so that we would not be asking ourselves, am I still in this boat? But that you would be someone who says, we are in a storm, but we are in it together, and together we can overcome it. May you be one who has the courage to turn to God in the midst of the storm, and to turn to each other, and to build deep, authentic relationships. Amen.